The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to the Lord's house on this eighth Sunday after Pentecost. Jesus warns us about the pursuit of earthly riches, and we talk about how we might use those riches for God's purposes. A huge thank you to everyone who helped with or contributed to Vacation Bible School in any way. I heard an amazing number of compliments and thank yous from folks. So thank you for all of your work on it. Altar flowers today are given by Barb in memory of Rich's birthday. There's a typo in the bulletin. I apologize, Barb. Sign up in the narthex for Portals of Prayer, a daily devotion book for the 2020 Portals of Prayer. If you have any questions about that, talk to Elaine and she'll fill you in. Wednesday Bible studies do not meet this week. I have to attend an out-of-town meeting, so we will resume a week from Wednesday. Youth group and anybody else who wishes to do a little bit of hiking, we're going to go next Sunday after Bible class. Sign up in the narthex. We'll arrange for different paces and different lengths of hikes depending on your interest and abilities. If you've got any questions, I think I'm the person to talk to on that. Any other announcements that need to be made today? Robin.
We have the t-shirts that are left over from BBS. They are adult large and adult extra large. They're on the back behind the network today. Please feel free to take one. They are yummy material, so make the same shirts as well.
Thank you. Any others? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. We ask our Lord's blessing on worship and know that he will bless us this day as he comes to us in his word and his supper to give us the true riches of Jesus. Service, page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
What would you do
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You may kneel or sit for confession. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Kyrie, page 204. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. Those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasures you have stored up for us in heaven, that we may never despair but always rejoice and be thankful for the riches of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is from Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I've seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There's nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Why should I fear in times of trouble those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches? This is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boasts. And the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their forms shall be consumed in Sheol, with no place to dwell.
But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The epistle is from Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Men who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The Apostles' Creed, page 207. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is the gospel for the day from Luke chapter 12. So Jesus is teaching, the people are listening, and this is a good thing because lots of times Jesus teaches and people pay no attention, back then and now. But these are Jews who actually respect Jesus as Lord. They look to him as a rabbi, and back then they would frequently ask rabbis to referee their disputes. So what happens next is no surprise. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Apparently this guy thought there was maybe a piece of property that was rightly his. His brother disagreed. Who better to ask to mediate than the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who's also God. But interestingly, the mediator refuses to mediate. Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" Perhaps this is because Jesus has a respect for the earthly authority, government, and no government has given Jesus the authority to be a judge. Or maybe he's simply suggesting that he did not come to be the arbiter between man and man, but the arbiter, the mediator between God and man. Disputes between two humans require somebody who has some common sense. While maybe common sense is rare, it's not, we're not devoid of it in our society. There are other humans besides Jesus who have common sense. But in the dispute between us and our God, well, the mediator there requires that the mediator be a man who is God, a man who is sinless, and a man who is willing to give his life for us, which leaves us with only one possible mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who is also God. And so Jesus does not answer this man's requests. Besides, the man, by his very request, seems to suggest that he has a covetousness down below the request. And so Jesus goes on and says, not just to him, but he said to them, "Take care, be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." We are people who have an abundance of possessions. We need to be reminded that our life does not consist in the abundance of those possessions. Sometimes we think that if we just have enough to be secure, to live comfortably, then we'll be fine. Well, then the stock market can crash, there can be a Great Depression, banks can fail and we can lose everything, or fire or a tornado could destroy what we've worked for, or the government could take what you've earned and redistribute it to somebody else. Jesus tells a story. A man sets a goal of retiring at age 55. He starts a business. He works hard, very hard. He does not treat his people, his customers unfairly. In fact, sometimes he lets them treat him unfairly. He pays his workers well, and he ends up successful, very successful. By scrimping and saving, he's able to accomplish his goal, and so when he turns 55 years old, he throws a party and he dies, drops dead, bites the dust, buys the farm, and enjoys nothing of what he has accumulated. That's Jesus' story. I grant you that it's not the exact words that Jesus uses, but isn't that pretty much the 21st century version of his story about the man who was successful, coveted the grain that he had grown, built bigger barns, said, "Eat, drink, be merry, relax. I've got it all. I've accomplished it for myself." So Jesus, oh, and then he dies and enjoys none of it. So Jesus says it is for the one who lays up treasure for himself, but is not rich for God. Not who lays up treasure, but lays up treasure for himself. Does earthly success lead to eternal distress? Well, our text is pretty unequivocal. Sometimes. Maybe even most times. And yet I know some people who've done quite well for themselves, which is really to say God has bestowed on them plenty. But they don't use that plenty for themselves, or not just for themselves and their family. They give to people who are in need. They support their congregation. They make sure that the message of Christ gets out into the world. They realize, in fact, that money is a gift from God, a tool to be used for his work. And contrary to our usual way of thinking, they understand that money is not necessary for survival and not essential to happiness. I repeat that. Money is not necessary for our survival, and it is not necessary for our happiness. Contrast those people with some others who also have done quite well for themselves, which is to say, God has given them plenty. But they neglect God's word and his supper. They seem to think that Sunday mornings are a time that is needed to relax from all of that money-earning toil that they've been doing during the week. Maybe they believe the bumper sticker that says, "He who dies with the most toys wins." The bumper sticker lies. He who dies with the most toys dies, and he has no toys left to play with when he dies. Solomon grasps this in today's Old Testament reading. Solomon has hoards of riches, maybe the wealthiest man on earth in 900 BC. And yet, what does he say? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Why? Well, I work so hard, accumulate all this, and I must leave it to a man who will come after me, and who knows whether he'll be wise or a fool. By the way, most of Solomon's heirs were fools. They wasted what he had given, not unlike a lot of heirs and heiresses today. You probably can name a few of them. So go ahead, work your tail off, make yourself rich, and then die. Leave it to somebody else who may waste it all because they don't appreciate how hard you worked for it. Vanity of vanities. Are Solomon and Jesus telling you, stop working, quit earning a paycheck, and for goodness sake, don't invest in any retirement accounts because who knows whether you're going to be alive at age 70 and a half? No, that's not what they're saying. Dear Christians, work hard, not in order to accumulate wealth, but because that is your vocation. If God blesses your life, thank him for the gifts that he gives to you, the wealth that he gives to you. Invest it wisely and use it for his good, for your neighbor's good and for his glory. Enjoy the wealth, but don't make that wealth your goal in life. Don't covet. Don't covet getting it or keeping it. If you will, or if you do, then earthly success will lead to eternal distress. Repent when you make money or earning or success your goal in life. Make living as God's child your goal in life, receiving his forgiveness, doing what he commands, including using what he gives to you for the good of others. He redeemed you. He's taking care of you. He's preparing a place for you. So you're free. You can be content whether you have loads of money or none of it at all. Well, there was a pagan philosopher who actually said, it's not the one who has very little, but the one who craves more who is truly poor. He may have been on to something. Be content whatever God gives to you, because life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Look back. What do all the people who were successful 100, 200, 500 years ago have in common? I can think of at least two things. One, they're all dead, and two, they're all penniless. There's probably a reason why hearses don't have trailer hitches that pull U-Haul trailers behind them. You can't take it with you. All the money that we accumulate isn't going to do us a bit of good when we're buried 6 feet under the soil. But I'm not even sure that it makes us happy in this world. Here's a Wall Street Journal headline. Don't envy the super rich. They're miserable. And think about it. Think about so many of the wealthy celebrities who died either by taking their own life or died unhappy. The Atlantic had an article last year about some research that was done on millionaires and billionaires. And they asked them if they were happy. Answer, no. How much more money would you need to make you happy? Average answer, 2 to 3 times the amount of money that they had. And that didn't matter whether they had only $1 million or whether they had multi-billion dollars. You see, money doesn't make one happy. In many ways, it makes life more difficult. A few years ago, there was a guy by the name of Abraham Shakespeare. Love the name. Wouldn't have wanted his life. He won a $30 million lottery. His life turned into a mess. Friends and family were hounding him constantly for money. He spent his entire existence trying to fend off false accusations that he had stolen his lottery ticket. Every relationship he had, there was a mess made of it. And in the end, he said, I'd have been better off going broke. And that was before he was murdered by his girlfriend. And this isn't unusual. Lottery winners repeatedly report that the windfall makes them sadder, not happier. Contrast that with the poverty-stricken Christians that Holly met in Haiti 10 years ago. People who had, and still have, nothing. But they seem content. They trust their Lord to take care of them, and He does take care of them. They seem to realize life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Real life consists in having one possession, Jesus. Jesus crucified to pay your debt to God. Jesus raised so that you too will be raised to life with the best riches of all, and they're not monetary. Jesus, who has gone to prepare a place for you so that where He is, you can be also. Jesus, who connects you to Him by baptism, who gives you a blood transfusion of His life at this altar. Jesus, who reminds you that while He is focused on every detail of your life on this earth, what He wants most of all for you aren't earthly riches, but the eternal riches that He purchased at the cross. You have been raised with Christ, St. Paul says. So seek the things that are above, where Christ is, and where you will be if you seek after Him instead of seeking after the stuff of this earth. Enjoy what God gives you. Use it for His purposes, not yours. Do not covet it. Treasure the gift of Jesus. And understand that riches aren't going to last. They are not your life. For, as Paul says in today's epistle, you have died. Feel dead? Because I don't. But he says, if you've been baptized, you have died. Your old sinful self with all of its covetous desires for the things of this earth has died. And when you feel that desire welling up inside of you, put it to death again, lest it kill you first. For you You have been raised with Christ. Do you feel like you have resurrection life right now? Does it look like you're in heaven? Have you ceased sinning? Nope. But you've been raised with Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Right now, your life is hidden with Christ. If it's hidden, then it's not going to appear very valuable. In fact, when you're using your riches for the sake of other people, and you're giving them all away, well, frankly, it looks like you're pretty poor. But on the last day, when Jesus returns, then you and everybody else are going to see that that faith that you were given, that looks like it's worth nothing, is really the most precious possession anyone could ever have. For Jesus, who was rich, for your sake became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Rich with forgiveness, rich with life, rich with an eternity in heaven, rich with a security that money cannot buy and eyes cannot see, security that will still be there when everything that money can buy has gone up in flames at Jesus' return. Does earthly success lead to eternal distress? Yes, when you covet the earthly stuff, when you rely on it to take care of you, that's setting your mind on things below. Jesus has given you the things above. This is why Jesus does not tell the man's brother to give him his share of the inheritance. He offers the man something far better. Riches that last, riches that are eternal, the riches of faith, the riches that he has given you also. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for prayer. Vanity of vanities, all is vanities, dear Lord, without you, give us your Spirit, so that we're constantly on guard against covetousness and the desire for earthly comfort at the expense of our eternal life. Turn us from arrogance and from pursuing a life rich in things but poor in spirit. Assure us that our riches are in Christ, so that we don't seek after earthly ease, but use what you entrust to us for the good of others and to glorify you. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, because you have baptized Carson, Hayden, and each one of us into Christ's death and resurrection, because you have raised us with Christ to new life, give us the desire to set our mind on things above so that we live our lives below in the joy of your everlasting gifts. Give us strength to fulfill our earthly vocations in ways that show that we belong to you, Lord, in your mercy. Guard your church, O Lord. Give to your people honorable and noble men for the office of the holy ministry, and gracious and devoted men and women commissioned for teaching, discipling, and doing works of mercy. Give us hearts that joyously support the work of your church and generously contribute to those in need. Use the word that was spoken at Vacation Bible School to draw children to their Savior. Lord, in your mercy, bless our nation, O Lord, and all the nations of this earth. Fill our land with good and wise leaders who seek your will and walk in your ways. Defend us from war and terror, from pestilence and bloodshed, from poverty and want. Inspire us to work for the common good. Ensure that the guilty are punished and that virtue is rewarded among us. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, give to us repentant hearts that put to death all that is evil within us so that we do not practice immorality or idolatry or give in to the temptations of anger and malice and vulgarity and deceit or covetousness. Help us to live as the new people you have made us to be in Christ Jesus. Give us a love for doing your commandments. Keep us in faith until the day of Jesus' return. Lord, in your mercy, give comfort, O Lord, to everyone in need, to the sick and the suffering, to those who mourn, the aged and the infirmed and the dying. Especially we pray on behalf of those affected by the recent shootings, on behalf of Clyde's family, and Alvin, Jeanette, Herb, Parker, Reagan, Hope, Ed, Ingrid, the Martinez family, Mel, Sharon, Nina, Charles, Jeremy, Matt, Tara, Barb, Sherry, and Kathy. Grant to each of them a confident faith in Jesus, peace, and an end to their afflictions. Lord, in your mercy. Until the day of judgment, O Lord, keep us from falling away from your truth and from exchanging the hope of glory for earthly treasures that fade. Give us courage and peace so that we cling to you in disappointment, are encouraged in time of need, endure times of persecution, and are sustained in faith. Keep us as you kept our dear sister Luann, whom we remember with love. Lord, in your mercy. By the blessed gift of communion, Lord, feed our spirits and our bodies. Use Christ's flesh and blood to turn us from seeking earthly gain. Grant us a maturity in Christian faith and living. Preserve us in your truth, and do the same for your people of St. Mark, St. John, and Zion congregations, so that we pass on to our children and grandchildren that faith untainted by error. Lord, in your mercy. These and everything else, good and gracious, Lord, that we need, we pray that you would provide for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, by whose good name and saving works we are bold to pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Service of the Sacrament, page 208.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit. You justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. And yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Christ, on the night
when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Shed for you the forgiveness of all your sins.
that rejoicing with us all others may know your cares.
You have received the riches of Jesus, his body, his blood, and his forgiveness. Go in his peace. In fretting over trifles and in getting things that have no solid surrender, for on God alone I build. Well he knows what best to grant me, all the longing hopes that
I drink with thee them. Here would I lay aside each earthly load and taste afresh the calm of sin forgiven.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come and the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.